It's important that you always keep developing your practice. Work on what you do, and as much as you can, obviously. Never give up, also one important thing, since there are also good times and bad times. I think it's important, since we have social media these days and it's pretty much for free, so I always encourage people to maybe use it.
My today's guest is Evgen Choppy-Goryshek, is a painter based in Berlin. Welcome, Evgen.
Hi, Johan. Thank you for having me.
Evgen, maybe you can tell us, what was your first encounter with art?
I would definitely say since I was a child already, but maybe I got a bit more interest in my teenage years. When I was, I would say like 15, 16, my teacher in school encouraged me a bit more. And yeah, and then became more and more and more.
So it was really like art school lessons?
I mean, it was still the normal school before deciding in what direction to go, but I didn't know really, and my teacher, she encouraged me to go to do art, and at the time I found it interesting already, but I think I was always attracted more from art from the streets, from graffiti and things I saw on the streets, but yeah, that was, I would say, the first time. The early stages.
So maybe you can tell us where you're from?
So I'm originally from, I was born in Slovenia, in Koper, which is like a small town at the seaside next to Trieste, which is in Italy, so on the border with Italy.
So Slovenia on the border to Italy, but there was no one in the family was doing art, and you just came through art lessons to art. When did you started your own practice?
Yeah, exactly. There was not really anyone into art from my family. I was actually into sports all my childhood, so that was my dream when I was a kid, to become an athlete. But
in which discipline?
I was playing football and basketball and tennis. That were my main, but I was also doing many other because I had so many interests, so it was hard to decide which one. But yeah, sports in general. So I guess with age I was always changing the sports. But yeah, it was then, yeah, pretty much through the school and teacher encouraged me going into art, and yeah, and afterwards I just keep on going that direction.
So did you ever really try to become a professional athlete?
I never reached that level, but I was still very young, and I think at the age of 15 kind of put it away, that goal, or I don't know. I don't even remember anymore. But yeah, I was really happy that art came in. I guess also at the time I started skateboarding, and it was another connection with art, where all these t-shirts I saw with really cool graphics and album covers from the bands and graphics on the skateboard. So this was also, I think, another connection which I was very interested about.
So from the beginning then, these interest in sports influenced your practice? So because we had one painting some years ago in a group show, a very famous image of Arnold Schwarzenegger, bodybuilding was not a topic for you, just more like sports icons, I guess, no?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm never interested in bodybuilding, but yeah, sports icons and classic athletes, like famous athletes, especially maybe from my childhood.
And images which somehow dominate our zeitgeist and a certain culture.
Definitely. Yeah.
So how do you work there? You take images from our sort of collective memory, and then you appropriate them, because you always do something to the image, right? Schwarzenegger, for example, you put him into the, I think the original picture is from a Gold's Gym advertising or campaign. But then you juxtapose him into the ocean. How do you come to these images? And then, I mean, your very signature sort of element in your figurative paintings are the distorted faces, which sort of are rubbered out. And then you put a very simple smile and two eyes, yeah, like a children drawing, into the face. How did that evolve? How did you come about this?
Well, everything started with finding images of where I get inspiration from, or maybe there is an idea already, but I try to find the image which it's similar to the main idea I had, but I never want to recreate exactly the image, but I just take some parts of it to help make the painting. So it's always, all the paintings are based on the photos, but obviously then I try to break things or like change, pretty much backgrounds are always different, or I, like you mentioned, the Schwarzenegger pose, which I, the original photo was, yeah, in the gym, but I just wanted to put it somewhere else, and this is when I decided to put it inside the ocean. So, I mean, he was standing in the sea. So, yeah, everything based on photos. Then the face itself came by accident or by playing around in the studio, experimenting. I guess when I bought the airbrush, and I was just trying new things at that time, and I was painting before already, also figurative paintings, but I wanted to do something different. And when I came up with the type of skin that I'm painting today, I thought maybe it would be cool or interesting to do the face and some other parts, maybe not so precise as it's on the photo, or like so realistic in a way. So then I just thought that I should go in something completely opposite. So that, and then this childish peanut face, I guess, just came up with playing around. And
So it was very much about this precision on one side and perfection, almost photorealistic somehow, and at the same time the distorted image. And when did you do that for the first time?
And I could say maybe now it's like 3 years ago. I did the skin actually by accident. I was just trying to do as clean as possible as it was on the photo. At the time I wasn't even so skilled with the airbrush, but with time I guess I got better. But and then I was like, oh, it would be fun to do it a bit different, to make this contrast between this clean and perfect and so on, and to make something more, yeah, just different, I guess, also than the others. So because I didn't want to do also perfect realistic face. And
you try to use images which are recognizable as somehow collective images, because I mean it always depends. Sometimes you also have, there's this one picture of a woman on a pool, which I remember knowing but couldn't really identify anymore on from what context I know it. You try to move step by step away from it, or is it always somehow certain audiences which identify images and their thoughts and some not?
I never focus on that thing, if they're going to recognize it or not. So it's not the goal of it or anything. Pretty much already with doing the faces I'm doing, I never clarify who the person is on the painting. But I guess sometimes I just take such a iconic image, or I based on an iconic image, that people recognize it.
So most of the times it's more coincidental if it's recognizable or not. But with Schwarzenegger, maybe it's an exception because it's such a famous pose and image. For example, now we in the exhibition Match Point, there are various images of Dukovic. What's your fascination with him, for example?
I'm just a big fan of him, so of his tennis playing and yeah, in general, already when I was younger and I used to play tennis, I was always looking up to him in a sort of way. And but again, I wasn't trying to really show it's him, even though I guess people who follow tennis a bit more, they're going to recognize it based on their on his clothes that he's wearing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the same when I did some basketball players, and there was the jersey, and for example, from Michael Jordan that I painted, it was number 23 and Bulls. So based on face, it doesn't say it's Jordan, but we pretty much everyone knew it was him because of the jersey.
Yeah, yeah. And now you, in your last exhibition in Hong Kong, you also realized a sculpture, which I would say obviously is not a sports icon.
No, it was in a way a self-portrait, that one. The concept built on the painting from Bosch, the Garden of Earthly Delight, that my friend and curator who curated the show, Sasha Bugoyev, came up with the whole concept, and pretty much we recreated the Garden of Earthly Delights as not as one painting, but as the whole space, the gallery, but in my way, which I would say like in a modern way. So that sculpture was pretty much me being in that garden.
So because you created an entire almost like immersive installation, right? With a tapestry, and maybe you can describe a little bit the exhibition.
We divided, because there were three walls, so we divided, like the Bosch painting, it's like a triptych from three paintings. The right wall we also painted in more dark and black. It's not really black, that dark blue color, and was showing the nightlife and in a way hell, and the rest, the other two sides were outside, like being in a park. So the walls were, we tried to recreate the painting. Yeah, we just placed the paintings into the whole space.
And then you put yourself into a chair, sort of as a spectator looking at these paintings.
Exactly. Yeah. Being there, and it was also in a way like a personal story based on my current life, that I was going through some things and so on. And I just placed it in this camping chair, being in this park and enjoying the life and absorbing what's happening in this Garden of Earthly Delights.
Looking a little bit like a tourist and retired person, right?
Exactly, yeah. In a way, yeah. But relaxed, very happy. We even placed for the opening like a box with ice inside. It was really nice.
And that's something you want to proceed further, because you also did these smaller sculptures in different collaborations with... Who did you do the Schwarzenegger with?
The Schwarzenegger was made with the Lig Otto guys. And then I produced a bronze sculpture with the DDT store.
And one is coming up with Avant Art, right?
Also, yeah, later this year. I don't know yet when. It's going to be a wooden sculpture with a chrome part in it as well.
So you somehow create these characters which evolve from painting, but they can also be sculptures. And would you imagine also to have like a small Marvel?
I haven't thought about toy, like children toy to play with, but definitely I'm really enjoying making these collectible sculptures. Most of them were pretty small yet, but yeah, I would like to get more into the sculpture itself. So I just didn't have so much time yet, as I was focusing mostly on the painting. But yeah, it's definitely fun, and like you said, yeah, mostly they're based on the paintings, but I'm also trying to do sculptures now that are just coming straight from an idea, but not based on a painting I already did. So,
like the one self-portrait in the chair, you try to develop sculptures which are not taken from paintings, but based on their own development.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that one we did in Hong Kong. I had idea, and then I just did the sketches. And then with the help of production team, we managed to make it and realize it in a program, and then was produced in a fiberglass, and I hand painted it in the gallery before the opening. So yeah, it was fun.
And what is it made of?
A fiberglass. Yeah,
cast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The images you use, where do you find them? In magazines or on the internet, or how relevant is Instagram for your practice?
Well, because like a big inspiration in my work is fashion, so I just buy a lot of old magazines or even newer ones, but like Vogue magazines and all kind of fashion related magazines I get hands on.
So print?
Yeah, that's one, but also a big part is actually, yeah, it's just internet, and I would say a lot of images I found on Instagram just by scrolling every day and making pretty much screenshots and saving the images I found on Instagram as well.
Interesting that you are sort of influenced by fashion, because I remember when Virgil Abloh came visiting the gallery, he also was very much drawn by your work. So it seems to go both ways. your inspiration from fashion, and then fashion inspiration from your practice. And how relevant was Instagram for your career?
Big time.
Yeah?
Yes.
How?
Pretty much, I guess it started with it for me. I mean, I was active before, but I got the right exposure, I would say, and I got to the right people with it. So the first collectors reached out to me. I connected with many artists over Instagram, which are now also many of them good friends of mine. And at the same time, yeah, I got in touch with some galleries that gave me the first shows and first opportunities to exhibit my work.
So tell us about it, because you didn't go to art school, right?
Yeah, I did, but I haven't finished it. So I have an art school background, but...
Where did you go?
So first I finished art high school. So it was like a high school already directed into the arts, yeah. But it was a little bit of everything.
And in Slovenia?
Yeah, all of it. Afterwards, I went studying sculpture on the Academy of Fine Arts, also in Ljubljana, in Slovenia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I wasn't so happy with the studies. And once I was visiting here in Berlin as a tourist, I met some artists. They told me they have a space in a studio if I ever come here. And then I just went home, worked for a few months to save some money, and I moved after 4 months here. So I left the school and I came here.
And when you say you didn't really appreciate the studies in Slovenia because it's too academic?
Yeah, was very academic, and I would say very old methods. And I mean, there were some good parts of it as well, but in general, I just wasn't.
So you really learn how to sculpt, right? It's very frontal education, no?
Yeah. I mean,
nude studies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty much all the time, nude studies.
Yeah. And physiognomy of the body. I mean, it helped, no? In your...
For sure.
Because it's one thing to appropriate an image, but because you twist it, right? It's important, I think, to mention that you take images which exist, but you do something to them. You don't sort of project them on a screen and take them one-to-one. You always somehow juxtapose the figure into a new landscape or into a different environment, and you also change the angle the figure is viewed, no?
Also, yeah, for sure. I mean, was to get to know the space and the plastics and of not just the body but also other objects, and to understand how the shadows and the lights, and I think it gave me still a lot of knowledge. And but the most, what I was mostly interested was to know new materials, how to make casts, how to, I don't know, work with iron, with concrete, and unfortunately I didn't get to the bronze part, but I'm now into it. So yeah, it's very interesting.
How did it take off? So you were sharing your practice on Instagram, and then people started to reach out, or how did it?
Actually, I was already living here.
Yeah.
I mean, living. I just moved. So it was a few months because I moved before pandemic in October. So then what I think was in March, everything locked down. And yeah, I guess at that time people were spending more time on social media. And so I tried to half of the day spent painting and the other one just being on social media and trying to connect, share my work. And there were a lot of kind of like open calls at that time. I remember that you could submit some work, and they were selecting, and there were winners, and I don't know. And then you got some digital virtual shows and so on. Through that, I also found Annika Maya.
Yeah.
She was doing the dog painting series, and I sent her mine. I did it because I saw it, and then she posted it. And I guess, yeah, but I just got at that time some collectors were reaching out, and I saw a few paintings at the time. I was so happy because I could paint the rent.
When Annika curated the show, you were in with Schwarzenegger. That was after your solo show with Duve, no?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was just after it.
And how did Duve come along? Also through social media?
Actually, it's a funny story. I mean, I met him before, but he was visiting some studios in New York, and an artist and friend of mine, Hunter Potter, who was also in the group show here.
Oh, true,
that,
yes.
Annika mm-hmm. curated.
Same interest also with the faces somehow, no?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like the cartoonish.
A bit, yeah, exactly. So Duve was at his studio and he was telling him, hey, you should check this artist from Berlin. And then, he kind of...
Oh, Duve told Hunter about your practice.
No, opposite around.
Opposite.
Hunter was told him. So, okay. And then, he reached out and afterward.
And when Virgil came and posted this picture, did that have an impact?
A very big one.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got a lot of attention after that one. So, I think this was one of the most important things that happened to me.
Funny.
In a way that, I got a lot of attention from other artists. For example, the day after that photo came out, Takashi Murakami started following me.
Interesting.
And... I guess also like some other people from the fashion world, and it opened a lot of new doors for me.
Interesting. Yeah, funny, because sometimes these things are also quite coincidental, because Virgil came visiting me. We had some plans for a metaverse and he wanted to create a show here of African-American artists. And then we were sort of fooling around in the showroom, mimic the pose of Schwarzenegger in front of your painting. And it was actually a funny situation because Virgil came visiting. My eyes are pretty bad. And it was funny because my teenage kids are more annoyed with my practice than they enjoy it. But because Virgil was coming, they were finally somehow sort of, then must be something of relevance what their father is doing. And then we were sitting in the kitchen and my daughter was very upset with me because I didn't see we had like some jam left on the table. But then they noticed that the discussion was more theoretical and disappeared. But it's interesting how these dynamics change. When you look back, I don't know, 20 years in art career did not have these sort of leverage elements. Mm. So what other measures you could relate back to that?
I guess they were just starting like coming more and more projects in. So for me,
directly connected to this, you think?
I guess with time, not just after it, but also, for example, High Snobiety, when they did
they
article,
wrote a big piece on you. Yeah,
they wrote a big thing on me and then invited me to be part of this thing that was called Berlin.
Yeah,
and I mean, just helped me get a lot of exposure, which I think. Was very important for other projects. So it was just connecting thing like all together. As this thing brought another thing and this thing brought to the other thing. So it went like, and it went pretty fast, which was very interesting for me. If I look back 3 years ago, I was still doing other jobs to support.
What did you do?
The last thing, I was working in a dumpling place here in Berlin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So in a kitchen and occasional other smaller jobs.
You ever worked for another artist?
No, never. No. I actually never even wanted to.
Oh yeah, why not?
I don't know. I thought because when I had time, I wanted to do my own art. And I just, maybe also I haven't gotten really opportunity.
Oh yeah, okay. So not be interfered with other practice, just you need some job to do, make money and then focus
exactly.
on the studio
that
practice.
That was mine, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I tried. Although I find it interesting as well to learn new things and so on.
But yeah, but it's also in Slovenia, not the... How's the system in the art school? You have like artist professors?
Yes.
But are they practicing artists? Or not so much? Like, do they take part in the art market or art world exhibiting?
There are some, but not really, I would say, internationally. So... Some, yes, a bit, but not really. And I was actually a bit disappointed with them that they were not so much supporting, or maybe not even, because at the time I was already trying to show a little bit my work around, but I don't know, they weren't really interested in those things. And
in exhibiting, in bringing
it
out.
Yeah, in things that they were not connected with the school, or that were out of the program, or that if you would do a bit more, that, I don't know.
So
I was always, I felt like being a bit different, so.
And I mean, you are still super young, but what is your advice to artists where you were like 3 years ago?
I just think it's important that you always keep your developing your practice. So to just work on what you do and as much as you can, obviously, and never give up. Also one important thing, since there are also good times and bad times. And I think it's important, since we have social media these days and it's pretty much for free, so I always encourage people to maybe use it as just to show the what they do, because I know some that make really good stuff, but they're maybe shy or they don't want to share it with others or show it. So, and yeah, that's the thing. And connect with, in general, I think it's important to meet other artists and just other people which are in the art world, and in the end, this can help a lot. So.
But I mean, the most difficult part is to find an own sort of voice or signature, because I think great art is always doing something new, innovative, but reflecting what has been made. And that's super difficult, you know, to contribute to, especially in painting, to contribute to a medium where so much has been made, and then bring something new to the table.
I completely agree here. It's for me, that was also, definitely not easy. And I'm still trying to develop my practice, because at the beginning, I was very inspired at the beginning from Basquiat. So it was very similar to him, to his practice, although I was trying to get into my own, but it was always, you could recognize where it's coming from. So at one point, I was like, I need to change something drastically to not be associated with someone all the time. So then I just, I guess I tried new techniques in a way and so on. And
you mix techniques.
The spray paint, acrylic paint, and oil stick, and airbrush. But it, I don't know. Sometimes, you need to do a big change. At the time, I was worrying so much. I remember if this is going to be okay or not, or people going to like, or... I remember exactly the...
Also, when you did the painting and you had this, like, face in it, you thought, like, is this too... Were you insecure and thought, is this something you can do? Like...
Well, I found it funny, and I always like to bring... or put a little bit of humor inside my work as well, even if there would be like a sad image in the end, but that something is also something positive in it. So I found that this funny face is really interesting. Maybe the first time I saw this similar thing with the faces was Metsaki, the Japanese artist who uses spray paint. He doesn't paint noses, for example, which is different. I do paint noses, and I always put the smiley face. So I'm repeating my face all the time.
Where do you think this, because also when you mention Metsaki, I think of Ayako Rukaku, who we represent with the gallery, who has these, she's like the most relevant Japanese female painter, and next to Nara and Takeshi Murakami, who has these like... figures which have a more sad appearance, I would say. Where do you think this smiley face generational interest comes from? From emojis?
From cartoons.
From cartoons.
Yeah.
Which ones?
One of my favorites was Tom and Jerry. So, but I don't know. Like all the Looney Tunes and. I don't even remember now others, but those I think I spent the most time watching it. So it was always some fun in it. So, and I think it's nice when something makes you laugh in a way.
And were you hesitant when you did it, that you had the feeling this is something you can't do? Maybe that's a good sign to follow when you have the feeling you're sort of breaking a rule.
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to do something like this at one point to go out from your comfort zone and try it. And even if you fail, you can try another thing. So, but this is the only way to get to something, maybe something different, something new, by trying. So,
When I visited you 2 weeks ago in the studio, you were working on one very large painting, which is going to be in the show, of a single person, I think it's Djokovic, but I don't know how relevant it is, in the center court. Mm-hmm. And is this a winning scene or?
Yeah, exactly. It's a winning scene.
Yeah. And then you have the whole audience in the back.
Yes.
What happened to these faces? Do they all have your like typical face?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, that's the first time you have like a mass group.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have to really go close to see them. From far, you don't really see the faces. So
blurry, sort of.
It's a bit of blurry, yeah exactly. Yeah. I also airbrushed it a bit with the whites. The focus is on the main figure, which mm-hmm. is Djokovic, and there is another player on the left side behind the net. So, yeah, but it's first time that there are so many faces or people in a work.
And this we in the show we also run a screen with tennis matches, and this atmosphere in a tennis match where you have this whole audience being super quiet, focusing on, I mean, the energy. Have you witnessed one in real?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did,
you
I
went did. For.
Yeah, last time was actually in Umag in Croatia this summer. I mean, last summer I was watching Alcaraz against Sinner finals of an ATP tournament, which was an amazing.
And you think it's a bit of an allegory to the artist and the art world, art market around?
Yeah, could be. It's very unpredictable, yeah. In a way. And there's always silence, and sometimes some people shout at the same time. And
also changed, no? It used to be a total sort of more high society, elitist game, and it became more of an open sports from different elements from society taking part in it, no?
Yeah, exactly. It's reachable for all kind of different people, yet, which is great. It's amazing. And I think it's developing more and more. And I think that's great.
And what's your next focus, where you want to move to and topics you want to deal with?
I would definitely like to explore a bit more the topic of sports in general. So now we're going to show tennis here. And obviously I would like to do even more things with tennis, since it's my biggest passion, a part of art. More tennis, but also other sports in general. And then another topic I haven't done yet and I have interest in, it's also cars. So mm-hmm. connected with the cars and classic cars, newer cars, but yeah, that's another topic I would like to.
And you mentioned your influences from fashion. Have you explored or worked on fashion collaborations? Is this something you're interested in?
Yeah, very much actually. I did one, but was not really so much creatively, was not so much coming from my side. They just used images of my work, mm-hmm. but older work. To recreate. Actually, they did a whole collection. It was, I think, 46 different.
Who did it?
It's called INXX. Mm-hmm. It's like a Chinese streetwear brand.
Like skater brand.
Yeah, more or less for younger generations. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I would like to do more. And we started to talk with Casablanca brand mm-hmm. To maybe make a smaller capsule collection, mm-hmm. which is supposed to happen actually for Miami Art Basel in December, but mm-hmm. due to some reasons we didn't manage yet. So I hope maybe this year we can do that collaboration together.
For König Souvenir, you created
do a print which is going to be also hand finished by me.
So what's the motif going to be?
It's actually one of the paintings. It's the girl hitting a forehand, and I'm gonna hand finish the tennis ball with oil stick.
Oh, cool! This time not the face, this time the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you fascinated by sports also because of the competition? Are you competitive?
I'm getting back to it. I kind of lost it a bit, but as a kid, I used to be very, very, very competitive in everything I did.
How come you lost it?
I guess it's when I started skateboarding, because there was, it's not so competitive thing. It's more mm-hmm. about support and about
spending time together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was completely different than, for example, before basketball, when we wanted to win. It always was about mm-hmm. winning with the competitive sport. But then here I learned that maybe it's not just about winning, but it's more about having fun and being with the right people around.
Interesting. Because you think the art market is very competitive?
Mm, I don't know. I don't find it actually.
No.
I'm sure there is at some point, but I never see it that way. So because I don't feel I have to compete with someone.
Yeah.
I just try to do my best, and then depends from the others.
But, yeah. Cool. Super. Thank you, Evgen. I very much look forward to the show, and also when taking a break from the show to watch some tennis games.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Thanks.